Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me today to Romans 3. Romans 3. I want to start off by reading two verses, verses 19 and 20, Romans 3. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. When we read or see the law of God, what does it tell us? Some of us, maybe it says nothing to us, we might think. I'm talking about the Mosaic law, the Ten Commandments, if you will. What does God Almighty tell us here that the law is telling us? It tells us we are guilty before God. Not that we might be guilty, but we are guilty before God. In fact, here it says it, here it stops our mouth. What does that mean? It makes us shut up before God. So by keeping the law, and that is what it means when it says here, by the deeds of the law, but by keeping the law, it says no flesh will be justified in his, that is, God's sight. Justification in this passage means to render just or innocent. So we by no way will be innocent before God by the deeds of the law. So if by the law we will not be justified in his sight, how is it that we are justified? I believe that's an important question we must ask ourselves. So let's look today at the following things: our guilt and our justification. Let's look at these two things in light of what Scripture says about them. Some may think or say they have no guilt. Maybe in your own eyes you do not have any guilt. But what does God say about it? After all, He is God, so it matters what He thinks and not what I or anyone else thinks. James 2 and verse 10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." James tells us that even if we keep the law, if we miss one little point, we are guilty of all. Meaning we just do not just break one point, but we break the whole law. The law of God is much more than just the Ten Commandments. There are hundreds of commands that come along with the Ten. There is no forgiveness in the law at all. You break or offend in one point, you are guilty of all. As our text tells us, though, the law shuts our mouth and condemns us as guilty before God. The reason is, we are dead in trespasses and in sin. In order to obey God's law, we must have life. But the law cannot give life. Let's turn to Galatians 3 and verse 21. Galatians 3 and verse 21. Galatians 3 and 21 says, "Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law." This is saying that if the law of God could have given life, then our righteousness should have been by the law. But Scripture says to us right here that the law could not give us life before God. The law cannot give life. I like what one preacher said about this. The law is like an X-ray. It can point out your problem, but it cannot fix the problem. You have to have a surgeon for that. We cannot keep even the Ten Commandments. The law is hundreds of commandments summed up in these ten. Christ even narrowed them down to two. It is not just physically doing or not doing God's law. Just thinking something against God's law is a sin. When you think about it, the law of God instituted sacrifices, which tells us just by the fact that sacrifices were a part of the law, that man would be breaking God's law. The sacrifices were for sin. Of course, those sacrifices could never take away sin. However, not all men know that the law is a glorious condemnation of death, because all they see it as is a way to please God. They think that they are able to keep the law. They do not understand that the law is more than just the Ten Commandments, but even more, they do not understand who they are. Man cannot and will not be honest with himself and say, I sin against God's law every day and against God. Man cannot even control his thoughts and cannot control his heart. Even with the two, they are unable to keep the law of God. The reason being is they do not have life. God's law cannot give life. It is not the purpose of the law. It only points out the problem. It does not fix the problem. We are required by God to keep the whole law completely and perfectly. But we will not be able to do this. For anyone to think they love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength shows they are deceived. We know why this is so. The heart they are born with deceives them. They think that just because they have not physically committed certain acts against the law, which that is highly suspect to begin with. But it is also said in Scripture that to even think a wrong thought against God's law means you have broken the whole law. What does it mean to break God's law? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. There is no getting around this. Either you will die, or, by God's grace, another stood in your place as a substitute who died in your stead. God's word says that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In Romans 5, we can turn right over there in verse 12, we can read this. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Man in nature never looks at the law as coming from a holy, just, righteous God, because it comes from God Himself. The law itself is holy, just, and good. But they look at the law this way. They look at how well they think they keep the law compared to one another. They think they are better than others or doing better than others because they do not do or they do certain things that others may or may not do. However, when they do this, they are just comparing fallen sinners to themselves, who may look worse than they do in their eyes. But no man, when compared to the thrice holy God, will ever measure up to that standard. It is how we are seen in God's eyes that matters. We have to see how He views us, and we have already seen what God says about us in His Word. So then, no flesh will be justified before God by the deeds of the law. So either doing what the law says to do or not doing what the law says not to do If you do these things and expect justification before God, it will never come. We will never keep God's law to begin with, but nevertheless, it is true, no flesh will be justified by the deeds of the law. So natural fallen man will never see this. You will never see what the law really says as you are born in Adam unless God intervenes. He will only do this in His Son, Jesus Christ, and only for those given to Christ before the world began. Because fallen man has no life, he cannot see this. All he can do is do, do, do. So it is no surprise that there are those out there that think they can do what the law requires for acceptance before God. This is what death does. It deceives you. That old dead, deceitful, wicked heart deceives us into believing we have done something to gain favor in God's eyes. But we are guilty. God tells us in His Word that we are guilty. So if we are guilty, and we are, how can we be justified? So the law does nothing but condemn me. So if I cannot work out my own salvation, and I know I cannot based on Scripture, how am I ever to be justified or righteous before God? How am I to have life before God? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 reads this way, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." This passage is the gospel in a nutshell, you might say. He took my place, being made sin for me. You, if God hath loved you from before the foundation of the world, He took your place. The result of Him doing that I or we might be made, that is, I will be made something I am not by nature. I will be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, I said previously that we might be justified or righteous. We must have life before God before we can ever please God. It tells us here that we will be made this in Christ. Christ is our life. Colossians 3 and 4 reads this way, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." Life can come no other way than by and through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Galatians 3 and 21 reads, "Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law." So the law, it is evident in Scripture, will not and cannot give us life. The reason this is so is not because the law has an issue. The law is holy, just, and good. The problem is with man. The law is weak through the flesh, the Scripture says in Romans 8 and verse 3. The problem is with man who is totally dead in trespasses and in sin. So Christ, having taken the place of those for whom He loves, died for them, being made sin, who knew no sin. He obeyed the law of God perfectly. He was the spotless Lamb of God, sacrificed to God in our stead. It took God to justify us. So because of His death, but not only that, but Him raising again from the dead and ascending to the Father's right hand being accepted, He hath assured those for whom He died that they live in Him. Still, we are all born dead
in trespasses and in sin. Somehow we must have life before we can please God. Those whom God hath chosen and whom Christ was sent to be the propitiation for them, God will visit them by His Spirit breathing life into them. That is spiritual life. Because we must have spiritual life. God is Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That which is born of the flesh is just that, flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit, that is the Spirit of God, our spirit. So God by His Spirit gives us life, this spiritual life. He also sends us someone with the gospel. In hearing that gospel, having been given life, life from the Spirit of God, and the Spirit having fruit. In Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, we read, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And this is the fruit of the Spirit. So this fruit of the Spirit, there is no law against this. So every believer is equipped by God to serve Him, to honor Him, to believe Him. Scripture tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. We also know that all men have not faith. In 2 Thessalonians verses chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we read, finally, brethren, pray for us. This is Paul speaking. That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Faith, this faith, the fruit of the Spirit, which is of God, must be given to you or you will not have it. You cannot work up the Spirit of God. But Him giving us His Spirit, if He is pleased to do so, we then, by the fruit of His Spirit, are enabled to then please God, that is, to believe Him and the record He has given of His Son. Again, in our text, in Romans 3, verses 28 through 31, we read, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. There is nothing in God's law that can justify me. Nothing. But there is in Christ Jesus. Acts 13 and verses 38 and 39 we read, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by Him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. I'm not looking to keep God's law in any way, shape, or form, because I cannot. I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ, and I have been imputed righteousness through faith by God. I am as righteous as Jesus Christ Himself is, if I am in Christ, and only if I am in Christ. Does that mean that I go out and break God's law on purpose? In the flesh, I always do. I must look to Him for my righteousness, always, and trust Him to work in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Men have tried to get other men to try to keep God's law. We see it in Scripture. In Acts 15 and verse 24 we read, "For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Do not let men tell you that there is any commandment to keep God's law for the believer. We are told to believe Jesus Christ. He accomplished salvation for us. We establish the law by believing Jesus Christ." What does this mean? It means we take sides with God against ourselves, acknowledging that we cannot keep His law. And we acknowledge that Jesus Christ was the only man that could ever keep the law of God, and He did. So you are saying that you believe that you can just live exactly how you want? Someone might ask that question. No, I believe Jesus Christ. I believe He has power to keep me because He says He will, and I know He is all-powerful. Does that make me an antinomian? Maybe. I will live how I want to live. There's no doubt about that. But I trust God when He says He will work in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I'm not going to thwart that way, one way or the other. What God has created is renewed in knowledge, this new man. This is a constant battle, and not one that we seem to win very often. But we do because He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, having given us all things in Christ. My ability and my strength comes from Him. It is not just something God does for us one time and that is it. He continues to do this to keep me from myself. From time to time, He allows me to fall. But by His power and grace, I get back up, pressing toward the mark, looking for that time when I will see Him as He is. I am no longer married to the law. Christ took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Romans 7 and verse 4 reads, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to Him who is raised from the dead, that is, Jesus Christ, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Christ fulfilled the law, every tittle. Matthew 5, verses 17 and 18 reads this way, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." This is Jesus Christ speaking. "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." If I look to the law, all I will see is condemnation, as I in my flesh cannot please God through the law. I cannot keep the law, whether it is for righteousness or otherwise. If I look to the law, then I'm giving sin strength, because that is the strength of sin, the law. Do I hate the law of God? No. I want to honor God's law, but in my flesh, I cannot. I know by God's grace that Jesus Christ our Lord kept the law completely. And if I am in Him, then I have kept the law. It is only by faith given by God that I can please God. This is not of myself, but a gift of God. This all comes to men and women who are chosen in Christ and based solely on His work on that tree. He has bore our sins in His own body on the tree, being the perfect sacrifice for sins. Sin has no more power over me because it no longer has what energizes it to give it strength. The law being put away by Jesus Christ, my all in all. Romans 10 and verse 4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." If this is not so, then Christ is dead in vain. For if salvation be of works of the law in any way, then it is by works and not grace. But we know that it is by grace, and therefore it is not of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. This is what God says in His Word. Galatians 2:21 reads, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I am totally freed from the law in Christ Jesus, who has made me free from the law of sin and death." Romans 8 and verse 2 reads, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." God tells us in His Word that we are guilty before Him, because He has given His law to show us that very thing. It shuts our mouth that we may become guilty before Him. If it does not tell you this, then it may be that you are still blind and He has not opened your eyes to it yet. Oh, but it may be you have been given over to a reprobate mind and will never see this. I cannot answer that for you. But God be thanked that even though we are guilty before God, there are some who by the work of Jesus Christ have been justified before God Almighty. We are by His power given those things needed to please Him. What do you want? Christ or the law? Do you want to establish the law? Then believe Jesus Christ. On WVVA CW at 12 noon, you could hear a portion of one of our Sunday morning messages. Tune in, please, at 12 noon. Or if you can make it, come here and be with us. We start at 10:30. We're just past Little Beaver State Park. Come and hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified proclaimed.